Right on cue. Hashtag NAF2022.
Hello and welcome back to Right on Cue. My name is Naomi Gruen and I'm your host. This podcast is brought to you by Q Radio, which broadcasts live every day of the National Arts Festival at 9 a.m., 12 p.m. and 5 p.m. right from the heart of the festival in Makanda. If you miss the live shows, this podcast brings you the best stories of the day so that you can catch up on what you might have missed. Our reporters have been out and about working to keep you updated on what's happening at this year's National Arts Festival. In this, our fifth episode, you'll hear from Holile Madinda, owner and founder of the Black Power Station, two beloved South African musicians, and proud owners of the Long Table, Michelle Kloppert and Unita Els. Keep listening and don't miss your cue.
NAF 2022, it will change you. 89.7.
The Black Power Station is one of the many venues used by artists for the National Arts Festival. Steeped in history, our reporters took to the field to interview owner and founder Holile Madinda, who himself also has a long history with the arts.
I'm Holile Madinda. I'm an artist. I'm from here. And I'm the owner and founder of the Black Power Station.
So what exactly happens during festival?
What will be happening, there's a program, I think from the 28th, we have a women's dialogue only, women's only discussion. They'll be talking about women leadership, women in politics, women in art. So it's women who'll be sharing their own opinions. The name of that discussion is called Inkyakyambo Elike. And then we have two bands performing. It's only two bands, women also, but people are allowed to come. So they'll be here inside the Black Power Station.
Before moving to the Black Power Station, were you situated anywhere else? Like, did you have this movement somewhere else before?
No, it was part of the journey, me growing up in my room. You know, that's where, like, we would meet and discuss. And I used to do live cyphers, hip-hop shows on the street with friends. We were part of a group that we started. It was called Fingo Revolutionary, you know, Movement, which was a group of artists who said we're going to change our community ourselves. So we'd put sound system on the street from 9 in the morning till 5 in the evening, where we have conversations, reading books on the street, discussing topics like gender, politics, whatever we want to discuss on the street. We get artists to come and perform. So it was a journey. And then we started our own festival 2011 during the same time of the festival. I'm sure you've read about it, Finger Festival. Whoever comes here is for the arts. That's the Black Power Station idea.
So you did mention like the cypher stuff, you did shit in the street.
Yeah.
So that was in the location.
Yeah,
right?
In the location in town. We did. Everywhere. Me, okay. I don't have restrictions where I can be, because we were restricted because the system didn't want people to do things. So for me, I'm totally free to do whatever I want, as long as I'm not infringing on someone else's peace. We did ciphers at Old 65, opposite Triple S. There used to be a club called the Suite. We did ciphers everywhere.
Would you say the art is a way of then bridging, I guess, look at the location? Because the students, yeah, don't, you know, they won't really go into the location, and
yeah,
some people from the location won't really go into CBD.
Mm.
And then, like, this is a great spot to, you know, sort of converge everyone into together, this, yeah, whole thing.
The history of this place, apparently, this used to be a village before people were moved. So in a way, it's like we're all coming back to,
yeah,
so it's 360. But the Black Power Station is the international destination. It's international in all sense, without saying all races. So here at the Black Power Station, we're building a new beginning where no race doesn't matter, but politics matters. That you are open to be questioned about your racism, but feel comfortable that you're not being attacked.
Now the preparation's been...
Honestly, it's the most scariest time for me. I'm afraid people won't come. I'm afraid that we don't have enough time. We don't have enough money to do other things. Because our theme this year is nature, art and spirituality. So we still have to bring more green inside the building. I'm not worried about numbers. I'm more worried that people might not know what's happening at the Black Power Station.
Is there anything in place to like help people get to the venue?
Yeah, normally, like for an example, regular when we have our own shows, we would say someone wants to come. Let's say a show starts at 6. We normally have a taxi at the drama department that picks up people there and brings them here. End of the show, the taxi comes and drops them back there.
So has the National Arts Festival themselves like given you anything to budget to work with?
Yeah, there is. There is. Normally when we do Finger Festival, there's a budget which they just to support. So the festival is here. This band is brought by them here. They asked them to come and use the space. So they are bringing those artists who are part of the festival here, and they also are supporting us with technicalities that we are needing. The grass is cut. They are part of the, like, they're helping us to make sure we print the flyers, pay for a little bit for the stuff.
When people want to get a hold of you, your socials, where can they find you? On
the Black Power Station Facebook page, Twitter, the Black Power Station, Instagram, the Black Power Station. Everything's the Black Power Station.
Right on cue, hashtag NAF2022.
Tickets for his performance were sold out almost instantly, leaving fans questioning why he was only here for one show. I am, of course, talking about Ringo Madlingosi, who was in Makanda for a much-anticipated one-night-only performance at the National Arts Festival. He shared with our reporter, Naledi Ndala, what it means to be back in Makanda and why he's only here for such a short amount of time.
Those kids, they were singing my song, Vuas, were like, wow. It was the first time that, you know, I nearly cried.
Being on the verge of tears.
Oh, I'm telling you, but it was beautiful. So, yeah, it reminded me that there are people here who love my music and who love me as a person. So I'm glad to be here.
And we've been hit by COVID-19 and performances were hard to be stopped. No one was allowed to perform. And after a long time, you managed to be here in Grahamstown. How are you finding the experience so far?
So far, so good. As I'm saying that I can't wait to get on that stage and sing for the people. And, you know, we've been locked in or locked out from, you know, for the people and all that, but yes, it has been a very, you know, tough time. People were dying, people getting sick, and all those things. So for us, you know, as performers, it's a great relief, and also it is very therapeutic for us, you know, to perform and make people happy, and I'm sure, hopefully, they will also get the same vibe from us. We're happy to be here. Thank you for having us.
And I also noticed that your tickets just flew, and people didn't get a chance, those people who wanted to be a part of the show. Do you have any upcoming shows that can actually accommodate those people who didn't get a chance to experience this?
Yeah, we were talking about that with the management, that we need to come back, you know, and do a show, not to wait for another, you know, calendar day to come in, but we just come and give people the show. And I realized, you know, sometimes that we perform for people who are from all around South Africa, you know, not people from here, Joburg, you know, and hopefully we'll get people that are, you know, coming from Ilokshin, come and watch us to perform, because this is for them. Yeah, and it should benefit them. Maybe one day it will be better, where people come in and sell food and everything. And there was a guy that, you know, was an artist one time. I forgot his name, but, you know, he got the platform because of, you know, shows like these. So, yeah, we'll be coming back.
And earlier, I heard you mention that your ancestors actually reside in Grahamstown.
Oh, yeah.
Share the feeling of being home with us.
Look, I'm born of Ngaba. Ngaba is born of Pula. Pula is born of Sam. Sam is born of Undinga, then was born of Madlingos. Madlingos moved here in the late 1700s, and you know, with the guys that were running away from somewhere, and they are known as Amamfengu. They made a pact amongst themselves that they were going to educate their kids. Hence, I'm sure that we have the first, you know, institutions of higher learnings for black people around here, this side, and everything. So, yeah.
And as it's, the audience...
It's, yeah, you know, that's why I'm saying there's a different feeling for me when I'm around, you know. It's like I'm amongst, you know, my brothers and sisters and really family.
Yeah. As the audience, we're expecting more than one show. And unfortunately, we only managed to bag one.
Yes.
And how did that happen? Was it part of your plan? Or is just giving the upcoming artist the platform to be recognized and to be out there?
I guess it was part of that too as well, that, you know, we had, we wished we had another show, you know, but at the same time, we needed to give platform to upcoming artists. And so we couldn't, you know, take over the time and, you know, you just, what do you call this, singing. Yeah, no, we need to give people a chance. And also, as I'm saying, that we will find time where we will come over and perform and give people the, you know, yeah, the chance. Maybe, you know, you guys, you from Abbey Roads, give us, you know, a chance to come in and perform for you guys, you know, and make it work.
Makanda-based Afro-soul singer and songwriter who goes by Nombasa recently released her first EP. She was visited by our reporter Olwetu Poko during one of her rehearsal sessions for a conversation on how she celebrates life and diversity through her music.
So, how long have you been performing for the National Arts Festival?
Performing at the National Arts Festival, this is my third one, because it was 2016, then 2019. All throughout the years, it's been usually like the opening ceremony at the monument. So I've been sort of like performing every like year at the openings and stuff. And then when COVID happened, that was the...
So you did not take part on the online one?
Virtual, not really, but I would perform for like virtual events.
As a local artist who grew up in the festival town, is it still a thrill to perform at first, or is something usual now?
It's never, like, it's I also don't want to say like, oh, it's the usual, because each year is different. And I'm excited to see like how this year is going to be after the two consecutive years, not, you know, performing. I don't think I ever get tired, because also different artists come every year. And I think that causes like a different vibe to it. But yeah.
What is the message that comes with your music?
I think one thing that, I guess it's intentional and not intentional, because I think when you listen to it, you can't help but feel like, the authenticity that comes across in whatever the theme of the message is. So the message is unity. The message is hope. The message is love. The message is healing.
So do you have like a specific genre?
For now, I think I'll classify it as Afro Soul, to make things easy.
And what about the target audience? Like, do you have a specific audience that you sing or write to when you create your music?
No. I think because I'm writing what I'm feeling, and so whoever relates to that, young or old, can then also relate to that and take it and personalize it.
Uh-huh. What should your fans expect? Like, what do you have in store for them? Especially for the first.
For the first?
Yeah.
I think they should expect like a very good, authentic experience. I think they should expect, because I think my music sometimes challenges you to face yourself and face whatever circumstances, to also celebrate, you know, in a, because there's a song called Asiwela. I think ever since the EP got released, it's been a song, one of the favorite songs of people. who've been listening to the music. And I think it just has a unifying factor. So I think there's a lot I expect, not a high expectation, but I anticipate people to encounter when listening to it. Spirit of unity, healing, as I said, I mentioned.
And also about the EP, is it like the first or you have made some music before?
This was my debut EP.
Oh, so how do you feel about the reception?
Very excited. I think obviously people need to, I mean, there's people who really have warmed up to it and are listening to it, but obviously we still need to like sort of spread and do the work of marketing, etc. But it's been overwhelming just hearing people's responses, especially like their personal stories. People, you know, DMing me or WhatsApping me and say, well, that song, for instance, Kuteni, it's helped me navigate what I've been feeling. It's helped me like put to words what I've been feeling all along. So
about the EP again, is it like a 4-song project, right?
It's 4 songs.
Okay, so can we expect a full album anytime soon?
We're gonna work on it, yes.
Okay, thank you so much, Nombasa.
Pleasure.
The Long Table is one of Makanda's most well-known national arts festival attractions. In an interview with Q Radio reporters Olwetu Poko and Twaita Gula, owners of The Long Table, Michelle Kloppers and Unita Els, spoke about their expectations for business during the festival and beyond.
So the first question I have for you is, what is your aim for this year?
To sell lots of lovely home-cooked meals to excited and happy festival goers.
What are you looking forward to?
It's a festival venue, so people come in here. The idea is to make it feel not like a normal restaurant where people are confined to their little spot. You yeah. come in here, you sit at a long table, you know, you seat yourself, you join in with other people, and even in the pub, you know, sort of.
Yeah.
Too many rules and regulations. It's for people to mingle. People mingle in the queue.
So what challenges have you like encountered throughout the whole process of organizing this good event?
Yeah. For this year. Well, look, we've been doing this for about 28 years.
28 years, wow.
Yes. So we know exactly what to do, but there's always problems along the way. What challenges have we had? Of course, there's the water challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Had to install a tank. And what other challenges did we have, Junita?
Load shedding.
Oh, yes, there's load shedding.
Load shedding is not too bad for us because we run mostly on gas.
Yeah. Do you have like an alternative source of energy besides gas?
No, because we're a pop-up restaurant. You know?
Yeah.
The hall that we hire is a beautiful hall that belongs to the cathedral, but there are not solar panels and that kind of thing here. But we do have the alternative water option now. But I have got some battery-charged lanterns.
Ah, that's great.
We've got 4 battery-charged lanterns,
yeah.
Lots of candles.
The patrons hardly need those lamps because we've got our little lamps here.
Yeah.
We've got lots of candles. Those lights are for our staff to see what they're doing.
Yeah. Now that the health department has declared full capacity, is your venue aware of that and what are you willing to do?
Even if he says full capacity, we don't know how many people are in town. We just hope that we'll be as full, but we're not expecting as many people as we have in the past.
No? Yes, I don't think we're expecting. We're not expecting the queue to go out the door. We're expecting full, but not overly full. We don't want overcrowded either.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Mm.
We are seeing people who are working in the kitchen. Are they employed for this this time during the festival only?
This is just for the festival, but for instance, our one chef there, Monica, has been working for us for about 20 years. So she comes in every festival. She used to work at night, now she's a day chef. And then another lady there works for us once a month because we've got a once a month pop-up. But we've got quite a number of staff who for years have been working for us and come every festival back to the Long Table.
And just like that, day 4 of the National Arts Festival has come to an end. Keep up to date with what's happening by joining the Q WhatsApp and Telegram groups. Keep in mind, Q is a multimedia collaboration, so if you'd like to read or watch rather than listen, there is written and visual content on the Q Media page on www.grocots.ru.ac.za. Please continue to engage with us on social media at q.online on Instagram, at Fest on Twitter, and at QFest on Facebook. And with that, we've reached the end of the fifth episode of Right on Cue. Join us again next time where we'll bring you our top stories, best interviews, and some insight into what's happening in Makhanda. I know I said this at the start of our episode, but I'm going to say it again. Don't forget to tune in to Cue Radio on 89.7 FM at 9 a.m., 12 p.m., and 5 p.m. for our live shows. You'll hear from me again soon, but for now, thank you for listening to Right on Cue.
Right on Cue, hashtag NAF 2022.